Brett, you ready?
Got it.
Brett, you ready?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
You want to do this?
Yeah, I can't hear me.
Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast for free and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to Ustream and subscribe to our vodcast, or go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly 10 bucks per year.
Subscribe soon or I will earn you 20% of 10 million for my father's death inheritance fund.
Your father's still alive.
This fact is a lie perpetrated against my family good names.
So all I have to do is subscribe and you give me 20% of 10 million?
If you want to help ensure a good future for my widow queen mother and 14 sister wives.
Well, of course I want to help, but I mean...
Social security and banking information will be required via LSD delivery service before son falls into Gulf of Guinea 3 times.
Wait a minute. This seems kind of sketchy. This is weird.
Did I mention my mother is a very sexy widow?
And if you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
My 12th sister is a slut.
We're coming to you live from the second floor of the fabulous John Lovitz Comedy Club on the GoCast Network, high atop the hill of Universal City Walk in sunny Universal City,
you
California.
You owe me now.
In the Universal City tonight, we have Dean Cameron, Brett Ernst, and Brett Loudermilk.
I'm a power bottom.
Yes, you are. You know these guys from the world of reason. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, this is Emery. Listen, about 3 minutes of our show actually got lost when we were having technical difficulties. We lost a couple of minutes. In that few minutes, I had introduced Dean Cameron and the Nigerian Spam Scam Scam. Be sure you check it out, by the way. It's one of the best stage shows ever put on. Dean and I talked about the Nigerian Spam Scam Scam a little bit. You don't miss a lot because we get right back into it pretty soon. Then I moved us into talking about my grandfather. To the best of my memory, I said, my grandfather actually fell for these kinds of scams. I gave some illustrations, and that's kind of where we pick up here. I'm really sorry for the loss. The guy in the studio that made this mistake feels really, really badly, and he won't do it again lest I cut his fucking balls off. Thanks for listening.
We're trying to figure out how to get his keys away from him at this point, and the whole Alzheimer's was coming in. He argued with Mom that they had to wire $2,000 to Canada because he had to get his $200,000 Canadian lottery windfall that he'd gotten him.
Oh, it was a lottery. It's probably real.
It was... No, it wasn't real.
No, not really.
Did he get his money, though?
He did not get his money. He did not send any money. But I wonder, you wonder how many idiots are doing it. Not idiots. How many victims are falling prey to it? My grandfather fell prey to it, and he fell prey to a lot of shit that came through the mail. So you're right, Brett, with one T. It's been going on for a long time.
It has. But the actual thing, the dead Nigerian guy who had all this money, that actually happened. He died. They don't know where the money is.
Really?
That happened in 1980 or something.
You know what I think? I think it got held up by customs officials.
Probably. It's the TSA.
Yes. And now it's sitting somewhere in
Florida.
In hold. In Florida.
Already wasted it all on stamps.
So there was one.
Well, that was one of the
8 million letters.
That's the best part of the Nigerian spam scam scam story.
That's one of the things I said. I was going to send him. What I did was made him believe that I was crazy enough and rich enough and crazy enough.
Yeah.
And redundant enough.
Yeah.
To fall for the scam. So at one point I said, okay, I have all the money, but I'm going to get it transferred to stamps.
You sent them pictures of your cat.
Yeah.
No, I just Googled funny cat photo.
Right.
And then every time I'd send him a picture of this different cat, which was Mr. Snickers and JoJo.
JoJo the Dancing Clown. you think I don't have the Mr. Snickers shirt?
So wait, now how long did you have him going for?
Initially I had him going for a year.
Uh-huh.
Then when he stumbled upon my website, I lost touch with him. And then about 2 years later, once I started doing the show and needed an ending for the show, badly needed a good ending for the show, I re-upped the conversation with him and did another 9 months and ended up getting money from him.
Yeah,
you got money from him.
From him.
That's the beauty.
I got a check, a money order for $3.50.
$3.50.
Because I said, it's a long story, but, and I'm giving away the end of the show, but man, whatever. he had found the website because at this point, any scammer who was writing me, I said, this sounds like a great idea. Go to this website and tell me what you think. And I'd send him to spamscamscam.com. So I think he wrote me as another scammer. And right. So he wrote me as the mother, Miriam, and said, you've broken my heart.
Yeah.
So a couple years later, I wrote him back saying, because in the show, Perry Mason is my attorney.
Yes, I know.
That's great.
And I said,
attorney at law.
Perry Mason and Owen Marshall, counsel at law.
Counsel at law.
They're the attorneys. And they wanted to represent Ibrahim Abacha in a claim against Dean Cameron because Dean Cameron's show, The Nigerian Spam Scam Scam, was now a huge Broadway hit musical. And Ibrahim Abacha was ostensibly co-writer of the show and was due half the royalties of the $500 wow. million. Dollars.
That's so great.
So to keep Perry Mason and Owen Marshall, counselor at law, on retainer, he had to either send me $350, $35, or $3.50. And so he sent me, obviously, $3.50.
That's great, dude. That's awesome.
You
That's
scammed absolutely the scammer.
Awesome, man. Scammer. Because I'd send him a press packet with all the
you know what I worry about?
Physically sent to Nigeria.
I worry about you getting
meteors.
In trouble with the feds for scamming a guy out of $350.
That's a good point.
I mean, really, there's a moral gray area here.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, we did the show in Scotland where the UK.
You don't like Scotland very much.
No, it was a fine place to be if you want to be rained on. During the summer.
While walking on cobble streets.
Yeah,
you could have went to Seattle for that.
Yeah. even the buses have stairs.
Yeah, they do.
It's
they
horrible.
Do. So,
what was I saying? Oh, but they're very politically correct there. And they...
They kind of got the...
They're like, oh, you shouldn't pick on these poor criminals.
Oh, my God.
What?
Are you serious? Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I used to do what you did initially, which was... And I only got two or three
Yours are
fun.
Great.
I had some fun responses. But I would before I knew Dean personally and before I knew Dean was doing this, every time I would get one of those, I would write back. And I love what you always said. Yours was always the same thing. You would always respond when you'd get one in your mail that said,
great, do you have any toast?
Which is fucking brilliant. And so, but I would write back and I would try to bait them myself. And that was, I would try to get them, I would say, this sounds like something very important. I think that what the government did to you is awful. I live in the United States. They do awful things to us here too. Like a sobriety check, you should be subjected to that shit. And then I just start talking to them. And they'll start talking to you because they think they have a fish on the hook.
Right.
And that was always
anymore.
Fun to me.
It's, they really are. They weed them out. They weed you out quickly.
So you guys got a lot of patience. I've gotten those before and just, you know, go F yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've sent emails that seem sympathetic and like
I've sent emails that seem sympathetic to the cause and everything and they've never responded to me.
You've never got a response?
Never gotten a
response.
Oh,
wow. I had a couple. Not a lot.
I've only done it a handful of times, five times or so. But, nothing ever comes back.
The worst is that grandma thing. You ever hear that?
Where
they call somebody, old folk, and they say, grandma, I'm in jail. I need money.
Oh, wow.
They did this to my mom.
And they just get right into it.
Oh, they do this on Facebook, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay on that mic, Lauderman.
Yeah.
I know you're a problem.
I would love to catch one of those guys. Yeah. Just love to do that.
I was scammed on Facebook by someone who wasn't after money, but was after, it seemed like, a good story.
Likes on their
page? No. This was someone who... pretended to be a transgender person.
Oh,
whose
that
father.
This was just an emotional tug. It wasn't even a money tug.
Whose father was Christian and disowned him. And his mother was also a Christian that disowned him. Oh, his mother was a Christian that disowned him. The father was sympathetic. And so they were chatting on this atheist page on Facebook. And he befriended me and was like, my mother's gone. She hates me. Will you be my friend and will you talk to me about it?
Well, he had a lot of people in this thread up in arms over the maltreatment of his family to him, you know, or her rather,
and
the transgender. And we're like, what can we do? We'll write letters to your fucking dad and tell him what a dick he is. And we're all kind of being motivated.
The father then comes onto the chat as well and says, you know, I'm a Christian and I support my son, air quotes, in what he's doing. I'm not like his mother. His mother's cheated on me, and she's a bad Christian, and all this huge, huge, huge story ended up being a total and complete lie.
Yeah.
This person was playing the father. This person was playing this transgender.
So what we're saying is a chick with a dick pulled a bait and switch.
But we don't even know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's what
wow.
Pulled it on me. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, just to make all these people get involved. I mean, a lot of people were vying for this person.
That's
on
like
this,
the fake cancer kid with the send the postcards to the cancer kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
like
with
a fool's errand.
Yeah.
To get nothing out of it. But to
you guys do realize a common denominator here. It's human nature.
What do you mean?
Like just human beings in general.
Well, that's what I talk about in the show is that they're just preying on the best part of being human.
Yes,
which is being,
is
trust.
Humanity.
Yeah.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Caring, whether that be religion or non-religion, you know, what people use as their moral compass, they're either going to go with it or against it.
Right.
That's part of being a con person.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I think it's awesome to fuck with him for that long.
Exactly.
It was really beautiful what you did. I mean, and you got more than $350, right? I mean, they sent you stuff and
sent them stuff. I spent a lot of money.
You made your three. You didn't make your $350. Didn't make your money.
I made it back in booking fees.
That's good.
Didn't it cost you $350 to send that thing to Nigeria?
No, I sent
avocados. Shipping to that's $100, right?
That involved bribery also because you can't really ship. Perishables.
Fruits. You shipped avocados.
Avocados, because there was this whole thing about a guacamole recipe, and you got to try my guacamole.
Oh,
it's really
good.
And so I had to bribe the DHL guy. I gave him $100.
Yeah, in the letters to the guy, he sounds like this lonely gay.
Except I have a son.
I know. Lonely, gay, single dad with a houseboy named Quan.
From the Philippines.
Hairless. He is hairless. He just waxes on, and then every once in a while, he drops in these nuggets that keeps his fish, Dean's fish, on the hook, talking about how his son doesn't love him, and he only stays around because he's interested in his vast inheritance, you know?
And like at one point I had to go to Canada to do some real estate business, and
talking about
real estate
He's
deals.
Dropping these nuggets of, that guy's got billions. You know what I mean? So he sounds like he's just crazy. He's got two lawyers.
They did some on 2020, where they actually tracked one of these guys down. And he was mad, like, because the guy was wasting his time.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's like, why are you wasting my time?
Well, this is his job, so, you know.
But it's like, you know, what balls you got to try and rip somebody off, and then you get caught, but then you're mad because he got you happy that somebody fell for your stupid scam.
It's amazing. Also, I want to talk about not blaming the victim, because that's a problem, I think.
Okay. I think it's a huge problem.
You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%.
We're going to do that right after we come back from this
break. So we're going to blame the victim?
In a minute, we'll blame all the victims. Dumb bad. My grandfather included. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on the GoCast Network, skepticallyyours.net, and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service, though, will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. If you need to brush your teeth, now's the time. Go for it.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', nonstop, and less talkin', boss shockin', head knockin', finger poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney spankin', wham bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000 watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
Hey, guys, this is Danny Trejo, and when I'm in Huntington Beach, I go to my favorite restaurant, The Second Floor. The Second Floor has my favorite food, and man, you'd have to see their colossal burger. You need a damn machete just to cut them. And they were just voted the best fusion art restaurant. Tattoo art from some of the biggest names like Jack Rudy and Rick Walters. Every Thursday night, art shows featuring legends to local artists come in. And you can meet them in person. You can buy the art right off the walls. And all sales go right to the artists. After 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, well-known DJs spinning an eclectic mix of music. And you've got to check out their late-night menu. Go visit them on the web. Check out their great menu, upcoming art shows, and your favorite DJ. Located at 126 Main Street, downtown Huntington Beach. Second floor. I'll see you there.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
That's what it's all this time.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dean Cameron, Brett Ernst, and Brett Loudermilk. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Two T's.
I wanted to have a third Brett with three T's. Does anyone have three T's?
There's somebody out there.
There's got to be somebody.
Yeah.
Just because.
I know there's another Brett Loudermilk in the world.
There is not.
There is. In,
are you
shooting? Yeah. He's in Alabama. No, he's in Alabama. He plays baseball. Uh-huh. He really loves his girlfriend. I follow him on Facebook. It's great. We tell each other happy birthday every year.
Nice.
That's awesome. Really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one other Emery, and he's a dick. He gave birth to, he knocked my mom up.
I just have to say that
I don't like my dad.
Joe Swam loves you, Dean. He's screaming, Dean.
And they're not hearing us right now on the stream.
They're not hearing us. They're seeing us. They're not
hearing us. So we're having troubles on the stream. That's really funny. So the rest of the show, we're going to mime it. And does anybody know sign language? Okay.
We should just fake a big.
Only me. Son of a bitch.
Oh, God.
That would be hilarious. They're really going to do the mime thing. That's pretty great. I didn't know you've been hanging out with Steven.
Billy. Yeah.
Billy the Mime.
They're talking about Billy the Mime, too.
Are they? Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, apologies to those who listen live. It's, what, 5-6 people?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Hey!
What? Sorry.
Later.
Hi, JR.
Anyway, sorry. Here, get camera on me. Sorry, camera's on me. What the?
It's not shadow puppets.
He's doing this. He's doing that.
Heart sore.
What is the?
Sorry, audio's broken.
Just to do that, you can do that.
Sucks.
You can do that.
I just did.
To be you. He's pulling his thumb off. Pulling a thumb off.
My 3-year-old son, by the way. That freaks his shit.
He really freaks out?
It freaks
Isn't
him
that
out.
Great? Do you know when I was a kid, I didn't believe what they said about how the moon worked?
Oh.
It didn't register for me. And when I saw the moon, I did not see the dark side of the moon. And then one day I told the teacher, I'm like, I know they're lying to us about that. And the teacher took me outside and showed me how the moon with a box and stuff and did a little display thing that he
had.
Wow,
she had to do all that.
It was a heat. And he showed me how the moon works functionally. And he goes, now go home tonight and check out the moon and remember what I showed you about how light blocks and stuff. And he had these cutouts and stuff. And I went home and I saw it. I saw it was a crescent that night. And I saw the other edge of it.
Oh, neat.
And I've never, ever been able to get back to not seeing it, which I kind of miss.
You miss not knowing?
I didn't really know.
No, I knew it. I couldn't, my mind wouldn't register.
Confused looks all around. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Let me make it clear.
Why don't you want to, you don't like that album?
No. Yeah.
It's a fucking great album.
Yeah. My mind.
Wizard of Oz. Dude.
My mind would not register that was actually a piece of mass there, that dark part.
Oh, you thought it was just.
I thought it was sliced out. And and in my head, I saw the stars behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, in my mind.
So did you think they were different objects?
I thought that, listen, you have to understand something about my process. The first time I ever got on a plane, not at that point really, I was nothing. When I got on a plane the first time, I thought we went up in the air, we circled around a while they came in and took out the trees and the shitty fucking cold weather from Kansas, brought in nice weather.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Total Truman Show thinking in my head. Brought in trees that were you know, the palm trees and tan people, and all the other people were just sitting waiting somewhere to come back into the world when I was supposed to go back to Kansas City and not L.A. And they brought in my dad, and I got to hang out with him for a summer.
Wow.
That was what I thought was going on. And
you're
that was
probably
when
the only person who thought like that.
No, I've actually had an email from Jesse Settergren. She goes, I thought that too. So I'm not the only person.
When I was in high school, I got really stoned with a friend of mine and convinced him that we had both died.
No!
Shut up.
Yeah. Oh, man. The first time I ever got high, Todd Rowden pulled out a big butcher knife. We're on mushrooms and we're peeking. And he takes it. We're sitting on the counter in the kitchen and he rolls out the butcher knife and he pulls the biggest one he can see. He goes, I could kill you right now.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, fucking, what the? And then I started laughing.
Right.
Because that's a pass-fail scenario.
Yeah.
You're either going straight down the fucking shithole,
right,
rabbit hole nightmare,
right,
or you're going to laugh at
it. See, I never tried any of that shit, man.
You didn't do the drugs?
Nothing. Never even tried
alcohol?
Weed. Nothing. Well, I drank, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you know what it is to be drunk.
Yeah, but
I've never done anything.
Yeah,
that's
me
so
neither.
Cool.
I don't trust myself on it.
Yeah?
I don't anymore.
I got that wacky gene. I know I'd be fucking...
The wacky gene.
That's why I never even smoke weed, man. I'd be in the house every day.
Yeah. I waited,
I'm one of those guys. I wouldn't leave.
I waited until my mid-20s to even try anything. I was clean until then.
But I saw a lot of... You know, it was around... I didn't come from money, so my neighbor, it was always, I saw
everybody
people.
Everybody was doing it.
Because I was always like the rich white kids would always be the ones that would experiment with shit.
Right. Where'd you grow up, Brett?
In Passaic, New Jersey.
Okay, cool.
And, but like, you know, drugs are cool to experiment with if you have the money to afford, if you get hooked on that shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But most people, you fuck around with it, it'll grab you. It ain't going to let you go.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, wow. Oh, thank you.
Well, here's the...
I don't know where that came from.
No,
just the experience in itself. Like, yeah. I always hear people with these experiences.
We have not done a drug conversation on the show, and I am really, really opposed to drug abuse. I mean, on every fucking level. Mm-hmm. The minute you find yourself, in my opinion, drinking too much, you have to pull it under control.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
I don't think addiction should ever be an option.
Well, no, but I don't think it is. I think that people, nobody in rehab fucking planned on being there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, once, if you're lucky enough that it doesn't grab you,
right,
and fuck your whole life up,
right,
then good for you.
Well, but, Dean, you experimented with drugs.
Yep. Anybody stopped?
Did it grab you and fuck you up?
No, but I saw the future.
Say again?
No, I did. I saw, like, oh, I can't keep doing this because my whole family is just drunk.
Yeah. You already knew. I'm always amazed when I see someone whose father was an abusive alcoholic, mm-hmm, and then they go and they pick up a beer and start drinking.
Yeah, well, my father was not an abusive alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother was.
I don't count weed in this conversation, though.
See, now wait a minute.
I don't. I think weed should be legal. I don't consider it like.
I agree, it should be
like
legal.
Like the cocaine, heroin.
Well, I think all drugs should be legal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not all drugs. I disagree with that.
Why not?
Personally,
let's go down that path.
Yeah, I don't see anything good coming out of
crack.
Yeah, crack or heroin or crystal meth being legal. And I've heard the argument that you can, then we can counsel them. It just doesn't seem.
I snorted meth.
Good for you.
No, I'm just saying I snorted meth.
What the fuck? Right.
What do you think will happen?
Wait. Let me be very clear about why I'm saying that. I snorted meth. I did it maybe 5 or 10 times. I had a fun time on it.
It fucks with your ability to count.
And I didn't get addicted to it. It is something that's easy to get addicted to. I can tell you based on my experimentation with it. But do you believe in freedoms?
Yeah, but I think that goes. I mean, there's a lot of things that. I mean, it's a gray line. But I mean, I have mixed feelings on it.
Yeah,
I've just seen it ruin so many things, and I don't see anything beneficial about it being. I don't understand why it needs to be legal. I think it's just the opposite.
What happens if they legalize it?
I just think it would produce more addicts myself.
Statistics say that's not true.
Well, statistically, we have more people that abuse alcohol and cigarettes, and those are legal.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you use reasoning and thinking that,
you say more, what do you mean by more? That's a weird sentence. More than what? Than if we had it illegal? I mean, I don't know what you mean by we have more people.
There's more people that abuse alcohol, and it's more easily accessible when it's legal.
Okay.
It's more easily for kids to fuck around with it.
Well, there's one. Dean, do you know that one? I mean, what are the statistics of alcohol abuse compared to illegal substances?
I don't care about statistics. I just care about being free.
Freedom is all that matters to you. Yeah, that's where I fall on the gay issue and on the drug issue.
But wait, the freedom, you don't believe in any type of laws?
No. Don't get me wrong. I think
so. What about kiddie porn? Let me ask you that question. What about in another country? Just saying this.
Yeah, yeah.
That where young people have sex and they film it.
Right.
And then they send it over here. You think that would be okay or it should be legal?
No, it shouldn't be.
But why?
Well, because someone's being harmed in the making.
But wait,
of that
but
film.
I'm saying, but what if it's well, if it's actually, a, if it's a
no, you've got a very good point.
If it's a practice in that
porn,
culture,
go ahead.
If we're gonna go down the kiddie porn path.
I'm just asking a hypothetical.
Here's the problem with kiddie porn. Is
is. Besides many things.
Here's the problem.
Even though it shipped here, now I'm saying it's illegal to watch it here.
Right.
Okay.
The argument against kiddie porn, it's a crime, but people watch Cops, and Cops, there are people doing crimes on the show Cops, uh-huh. right? And that's not illegal.
The problem is no one's jacking off to Cops.
No.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
What I'm saying is that...
Crazy shit. I have myself.
There are laws. I don't see... Explain to me what would be beneficial about heroin being legal.
Well, first of all, the harm that comes from abusing and or experimenting with drugs is self-inflicted. The harm that comes...
Really?
Yeah, it's self-inflicted.
Really? So it's not... How about this? If you in a prison, or if you know anybody that's – most criminals committed the act while they were all fucked up. Those aren't – a lot of those stuff, it's not the drug dealer that robs your grandmother and kills her. It's the person that's addicted to this drug that does that,
okay.
The drug addict.
Okay.
Now, we have a problem here, and it goes beyond personal freedom because – When you're legalizing a substance that makes people lose all type of rational, all reasoning, and you could say this from your own experience, but the facts are there. You go into prisons, it's not – people that are on death row, most of them committed crimes all
You're making broad assumptions about drug use.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
You're making very grand assumptions about drug experimentation and or use that aren't
– We're talking about drug addiction.
That aren't globally accurate. It's not globally accurate what you're suggesting. What? I snorted meth.
Okay.
I know what it did to me.
Okay.
I know that using it a few times did not fucking turn me into
an
addict.
But how did you get that meth?
Let me finish my point.
All right, go ahead.
It did not turn me into an addict, number one.
Okay.
Number two, it did not turn me into someone who goes out and just starts nilly-willy committing crimes. So I know that it's possible to partake of these particular kinds of drugs and not be turned into the thing you just described.
Yeah, you haven't seen the shit I saw then.
Well,
it's just different.
I have. I grew up in Kansas City in the Midwest, and I grew up in the fucking barrio.
So,
I know what you're talking about.
No.
I've been where you're talking
about.
You've
seen people addicted to drugs make rational decisions?
No. That's not – if that's your
argument – You're
talking
about you and your friends. I'm saying that it's a fucking problem.
I'm telling – I know that it's a problem.
Yeah.
Taking away the freedom of others is not the solution to solving the problems of those you're describing.
What I'm saying to you doesn't make any sense. What doesn't make sense is you're acting as if that people will stop using drugs if it's legal.
I didn't say that.
No, or even if the drug addict that we would have. Are you saying that we would have less addicts if it were legal?
Yes. No, I'm not saying that.
I'm asking you.
I'm not saying that.
I don't know.
No, I'm not saying that. I think if it was legal, I think we would have exactly the same thing going on. People needing to get off of the abuse of the drug.
So then why would you legalize something that you want people to get off of?
Because then we wouldn't be putting... quarter of the black
community in
black
jail.
Black community in jail.
What does that got to do with anything?
That's a really valid point. Decriminalize the use of government's.
I'm confused. You're just throwing things at me. Just pause for one second.
Right.
It's okay. You don't got to get all fucking worked up.
No, dude.
I'm just saying. You're just throwing shit at me.
I want to have this discussion. That's why we do the show.
Well, let's have a discussion.
So
because a 25-year-old white kid who comes from Beverly Hills is not going to go to jail.
But well, that's bullshit. My family's fucking white, and they went to jail.
From Beverly Hills, and a 25-year-old white black guy from
Beverly Hills
Watts,
wouldn't go to jail either, my friend.
Watts is going to go to jail.
Okay, but in your hypothetical, a 25-year-old black kid from Beverly Hills won't go to fucking jail either.
That's true.
Okay, but a fucking 25-year-old poor white dude will go to fucking jail.
But a quarter
that's true.
Of...
Quarter,
of course it's true.
A quarter of the people in prisons are black.
Actually,
and they're on their...
Per
drug,
capita,
drug,
yes, but I'm saying there's
on
a...
drug. On drug
but it's
charges.
It's you're looking at we're not talking about I'm not even talking about drug dealing so much when you're looking at
possession.
Violent crimes a lot
and
of people
three strikes and unconstitutional three strikes laws which are
horrible. Are you against the RICO Act as well?
What's the RICO Act?
I don't know the RICO Act.
You don't know the RICO Act?
I remember it from years ago.
Federal government, it only applies to white people. It only applies to the Russians and the Italians.
Oh, yeah.
They don't apply it to the blacks. They don't apply it to the Mexicans. Now, if you want to make a fucking argument for racial inequality, then you have to look.
I'm against the RICO Act.
You are against the RICO Act. All right. Then that's consistent.
Because that's what they...
I think they should RICO the gangs and everything. I think that... I like the RICO.
Yeah, it's organized crime, right?
Yeah.
It's so broad that they can... anything can be organized crime. It just depends on who they want to put in jail.
Yeah. I'm also opposed to thought crimes. I mean, making something giving someone a higher level punishment because they were able to determine that that guy attacked that gay guy because he hates
it's like
gays.
Hate crime
is fucking awful. I'm opposed to the
policing. Now, you talk about freedoms. How about this then? I grew up. I'm just here. You know, everything's based on your own life experiences. So,
but it doesn't matter.
But the worst way to learn about the world, and we know this being skeptics, is personal experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
The best way to make your assumptions about the world is what you see.
But you're again, we were talking about like the scam, the Nigerian scam,
right.
And the guy saying his Christian mom didn't be with him. Or
yeah.
There is a common denominator, and it's human nature.
Right.
Okay. And human nature has never changed. It's been the same. Before religion, it was still fucking wars.
Right.
Okay. After religion, there's going to be wars. There's going to be people that lie. There's going to be people that cheat. It's just a common. It's all part, actually, of evolution.
Yeah.
It's all part of human behavior.
Well, Brett,
and most people are stuck in the middle.
People that help others who give charity, who take in the poor, who
right. It's not. They're not always religious. There's right. people that are secular do the same thing,
right.
But. When it comes to drugs in itself, it treats everybody fucking equally.
The drug does?
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it
treats, like,
they're like
it's colorblind.
They're like toupees and fake breasts. Is you only see the bad ones.
But it's not harming anyone.
No, that's a great
analogy.
That's a fucking awesome line.
It's really great analogy.
But it's true. You don't see the great toupees. And you don't see the great tit jobs.
Why did I only
you would
just
notice them.
Why did I only just
like you don't see the functioning addict, but
exactly.
They're out there.
Exactly.
But to sit and there and say that they're addicts. Not that their lives aren't fucked up
you
just because they're covering it up.
Well, I wait. I know people who are indeed functioning addicts mm-hmm. and fine. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do they have money?
Some do, some don't. I know people who are.
You don't know any broke functioning.
What's the guy?
Dude,
what's the guy
stop acting like you're the only guy who grew up white trash.
That's not what I didn't grow up white trash. I didn't say I was white trash.
I grew up white trash in the middle of Kansas with no fucking money, and none of my friends had money. One friend had money, and the rest of us didn't. And so I know this. I know the world you're talking about, and I know yours is on the east and mine's in the middle. But I did fucking grow up in that world. I do know people, and my family doesn't have money. The first people who really made any money in my family are my sister and I.
So wait, so. What I'm asking you, though, is so you think that if it's illegal, you're just saying now that we shouldn't send people who are using drugs
I think we
to
should,
jail.
I think we should decriminalize drug use.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, what about that whole market? You think it should be legal? You think that would stop the drug trade?
No, it wouldn't stop the drug trade, actually, in my opinion.
So, it'd be like cigarettes. It'd probably be like cigarettes. It'd probably be like their black market cigarettes and,
yeah.
you know.
Well, the only victim of a drug crime is the person using the
that's,
drug.
I was going to get to that earlier. Let me finish that thought, if I may, Brett.
Okay.
The idea of comparing making drugs illegal and making pedophilia illegal.
I think we're bouncing around.
Yeah,
here.
We are.
And I'm guilty of that as well.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Because I'm trying to figure out the logic.
I did this show, the Nigerian spam scam.
Yes, what about that?
Get into that.
Funny.
Listen,
we got to get on his show. What he does? Let's talk about him.
Talk about
all right, Brett. We're going to talk to Brett Loudermilk now.
Yeah.
First of all, I love your show. I love what you do.
Thanks. Extra T is
you
for
are,
extra P.
I'm going to remind you to get on that mic.
Yes.
By the way, I didn't mean to tell you where to take your show. I'm
I appreciate
saying,
you doing
I,
that.
I don't want to fucking.
Thank you for putting the focus on me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
No worries, man.
Yeah.
So, what kind of drugs are you addicted to?
All of them.
And you jack everything. Off to kiddie porn.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So while you're swallowing swords.
As he's swallowing swords.
And he's living a fine life. I think this is a good example.
On,
so now we're
show.
Back to it.
I live in Hancock Park. Come on.
That's funny on many levels. He's a sword swallower. The guy actually swallows one of those long balloons.
Yeah.
Which, freak you out?
That's where I saw you do that. You did that at Lily's show.
I did
Friday
do that.
Night Tees. Monday Night Tees.
Monday Night Tees.
Yeah.
I did do that.
Yeah, I saw that there.
Yeah.
Really fun.
How do you know you can do that, though?
It was something I saw when I was a kid.
Catholic
and,
school.
I was going for the uncle joke, yeah.
My
uncle taught me.
My grandfather was
that I had no gag reflex.
My grandfather was
he might have broke it. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Brett.
You're interrupting.
Go ahead.
What the fuck?
It's all yours. It's all yours.
So, my grandfather was a con man. He was a faith healer. Came out as an atheist when I was about 5 years old.
We got to have you on the Ardent Atheist show.
I know.
What
I
the
know.
Hell?
I'll do it.
We'll have the Ardent Atheist 2 Brett show.
I'll come back on. I believe in God, so
thanks,
you guys
Brett.
Can
Yeah, I can't
me.
Wait to argue God with you.
I'm not going to argue God
yes,
with you.
Yes, you do. You argue when you talk.
No, but I'm not going to argue.
See what I'm saying? You proved my point.
I'm not going to tell you to believe in God. I would never do that. It's rude.
So, I was exposed to carnies and shit like that when I was a kid. I learned how to hammer a nail into my nose when I was 8.
Wow.
And it sort of went downhill.
I think everybody's thinking right now, how and why? I mean, when I was a kid, I did weird shit,
why not? Why not?
Right. Yeah. I learned how to get a light bulb. But anyway.
Does everybody have that ability, though?
Yeah. So everybody, it basically, when you take a nail and you pound it into your face, it's going into the nasopharynx. It's above the roof of the mouth. So it's taking advantage of anatomy that most people don't know
they have there. Yeah.
Right.
And that's why we need to have better schooling.
Yeah. You know, so more people shove shit up their I learned how to swallow swords when I was 15 over the telephone. A guy named Todd Robbins. I was living in North Carolina. I was in
Todd Robbins.
Todd Robbins. Yeah. Todd Robbins.
I put together the film for Teller.
I know you did.
Dead.
Yeah.
Todd Robbins stars in that.
Did you really? Ustream producer.
Hello.
Ah, we got a Ustream producer. So you
learned over the phone.
Yeah, you learned over the phone.
Yeah. So I saw Todd on TV when I was pretty young, and he was swallowing swords and eating light bulbs. It was on a remake of That's Incredible. Mm-hmm. And
Anybody talk publicly about the technique involved in eating the light bulb?
A fair amount. Yeah. I mean, okay. I can tell you that there is a technique of chewing up the glass and swallowing the glass. And there's also a diet and regimen that you have to go through to do that.
So we're telling the listeners right now, he's actually eating the fucking ball.
Yeah. You actually eat a light bulb.
And he even says
Emery,
right?
By the way, this is so much better than the stupid shit we were talking about. It's 100 times better than my dumbass opinions.
You physically grab a light bulb and you eat it like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
And you swallow it, and then you know you've lost control over it after that point.
Right.
And you hope for the best.
And kids, do try this at home.
Please.
Right now.
Please. Thin the herd.
Right.
So I learned how to swallow swords over the phone. I saw Todd do it on TV. I looked him up online, and I cold called him.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I was like, hey, we should know each other. I do this, and this. I walk on broken glass, barefoot. I hammer a nail at my nose. I know this old carny. I know this old showman. And
he's an old carny.
He's super into it. And he said, you know what? Let's talk. This is cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you called me. And I convinced him that he should teach me how to swallow a sword.
Was that kind of a hero you called, or was it just
absolutely.
A guy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because that can go so awry.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so nice. It's really nice to hear when it goes like this.
Yeah, I've been really lucky because all of my heroes, moving to California, being a big magic fan, being a total like weird showbiz geek, I've met all of my heroes. I'm friends with all of my heroes. It's the most incredible thing ever, and I've been really lucky to learn from all these people. So, you know, I've collected all these crazy skills, and I do a quirky little comedy act.
Right.
And shove shit down my throat.
Dude, that's fucking great.
That's awesome.
He does a great show.
I know that carny, like, that world was also where, like, professional wrestling came out of that.
Yeah.
Like, the term mark.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Because they would put, like, a chalk mark on their back or something to let them know this guy's a fucking sucker.
Holy shit.
And then they'd say, yeah, we got a mark coming. So I guess the mark, let the mark.
Yep.
Know everybody know it was a mark.
Go right in.
Yeah.
That was right before the Post-it.
Before the kick me sign.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Now we got to post it. That's funny. Now they just put a laser on you.
Yes.
Would they do that?
No, they put a mark on you.
It's still a mark?
It's still a mark.
Is someone still doing that? The whole geek act thing?
All of that, the whole circus thing? Not really.
I ran into an old style circus type thing, not sir carnival thing, in New Zealand. On the way out. Yeah, we were driving up to take our flight, and we had a long drive and some extra hours, and they had just put it up overnight. And
what'd you see?
It was all the classic shit, although there wasn't a geek act, which bummed me out.
Yeah, geek acts are really hard. For those of you that don't know, a geek is somebody that would bite the heads off of a live chicken or snake or disembowel a small animal with their teeth. Typically they were, you know, like a wino or something.
Right.
Hard up on cash.
Hobo.
Hobo.
And drug addict.
Not on drugs. Yeah.
We jumped it.
Yeah. And so they would fill the position of wild man, And yeah, you'd give them some chickens, and the good ones. The good ones, what they'd do is they'd rip the neck of the chicken with their teeth and then squeeze it in such a way that blood would shoot out at the audience.
Yeah. That's hot.
That's great.
You know, so then all these audience, all these marks, if you will, walk out of the tent. They've got just blood on their clothes.
Yeah.
You know, so people are like, holy shit, I got to go in there. Give me, where's my dime?
Yeah.
You know?
My stepdad used to tell me about these stories.
Yeah.
So wait, so it wasn't just like a show where guys are sitting around arguing Star Trek and reading comic books?
No. I don't know how.
Talking about how they can't get laid?
Yeah.
That would be fun to watch, though. I'd pay a quarter to see that.
I'd get involved.
Podcasts.
All right, more after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on the GoCast Network, skepticallyyours.net, and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable interruption. Have you heard about our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Also...
Suck my balls.
No. Also, we have a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to the listeners. Kyle Delaney, Danielle Lucas, Herbie the Zen Atheist, Reagan, Zingaman, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were the screen names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
If you need to neuter your cat, you got 2 minutes.
You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Hey, guys, this is Danny Trejo, and when I'm in Huntington Beach, I go to my favorite restaurant, The Second Floor. The Second Floor has my favorite food, and man, you have to see their colossal burger. You need a damn machete just to cut them. And they were just voted the best fusion art restaurant. Tattoo art from some of the biggest names like Jack Rudy and Rick Walters. Every Thursday night, art shows featuring legends to local artists come in. And you can meet them in person. You can buy the art right off the walls. And all sales go right to the artists. After 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, well-known DJs spinning an eclectic mix of music. And you gotta check out their late-night menu. Go visit them on the web. Check out their great menu, upcoming art shows, and your favorite DJ. Located at 126 Main Street, downtown Huntington Beach. Second Floor. I'll see you there.
All right, I am Ben Morrison and...
E. Greg Wilson.
Here to talk to you about our hit podcast, A Jew and a Mexican, an oral history of a couple of idiots. The way A Jew and a Mexican works is every week, Wilson and I pick a different topic, a different theme, a different idea, and tell our often
heartbreaking,
true stories.
This is a demonstration of Ustream producer.
On said topic.
That's right. It's sort of like This American Life on acid.
Actually, there's a really good story about acid on the drugs episode.
Yeah. And you get to try and figure out which one of us is the Jew.
And which one of us is the Mexican.
We're not telling.
It's a mystery even to us. So catch Jew and a Mexican every week on the GoCast Network Wednesday. Fuck.
Damn it.
A Jew and a Mexican, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, GoCastNetwork.com.
Yeah!
Hey, these are the Farley Brothers on Farley Brothers Radio. I'm Kevin Farley.
I'm John Farley.
I want you to go and look for Paranormal Movie on Amazon.com. It's out April 9th.
Yeah, it's a hilarious movie about a parody of the paranormal movies.
It's starring Maria Menounos, Tom Sizemore, Eric Roberts, John Farley, who plays Jack Goff.
Yep. Nikki Whalen.
Nikki Whalen. It's an awesome movie. Go check it out on Amazon.com. April 9th is coming out. Type in Kevin Farley, Paranormal Movie.
Yo, this is Rowdy Roddy Piper. You're listening to Rod Pod. I got something free for you. Gamefly. You get it free. You save it for 15 days. Play it all you want. No late fees. Get it back when you want. Got every game. 8,000 games. They got the Legends of Wrestling. My son Cole plays that.
And I don't play it as you. I play it as The Rock.
You're The Rock in the Legends of Wrestling?
It's the only guy I can put the rock bottom on you.
Do you know what he cooks?
No, but I bet it smells delicious.
Gamefly. 8,000. Be Roddy Piper.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Dean Cameron, Brett Ernst, and Brett Loudermilk.
He's done a disappearing act.
That's what he does. He's
what are you
amazing.
Talking about?
God, he's,
oh,
he
he's
learned,
gone.
He's gone.
He learned to disappear on
from
the internet.
From Todd
while,
Robbins.
While just chatting over AOL.
With no, from watching my career.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
going to
be all right.
That's very funny. Yeah. Your career is going to be back. All you're right. Working it.
All right.
Yeah.
Better be.
And he's going to reappear in a matter of seconds. Wow. Watch
this.
I'm going to watch this. Here we go. You ready? I'm going to bring him back just with the snap of my fingers. Here we go.
Look at that. Whoa.
Voila.
Hey.
Did you do it? All right.
Wow. Why is there piss on my hand?
Why is there piss on my hands?
Why isn't there piss on my
hands? Welcome back, Brett.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brett.
I got to hear this.
I'm never going to say your name ever again without hearing a double T in it.
Great. It's That's really awesome.
That's fucking great.
I love it.
So did you bring any swords with you?
Yeah, I've got one right here.
You did not.
No.
I was about to pull my cock.
I was going
to
say.
Are you just doing a geek act?
Just on body type, I think your sword's right next to you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Dean and I are not going to compare to that guy. Dean? Are you mugging?
I just did a take to the camera. Did Penn ever tell you that story?
No, what is it?
It's Penn.
Dean is also, you've worked with Penn quite a bit, and and he's also friends with
Penn. There's this great
story.
Are
you really, dude?
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you really friends with him?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought their show Bullshit was the greatest show fucking
awesome.
Ever.
Awesome.
It's a great show.
Really? Great.
Oh, it was awesome, man. It really was.
We all work with him, and
get out of here. Yeah, are you serious?
She sings in his band.
He won't
God
add
band.
Me on Facebook.
He won't?
No.
Well, he likes to only add people he knows in the
face. I know. I've met him fucking twice.
Oh, well. Yeah. You're not a girl with tits.
I know.
What the hell?
He's friends with my girlfriend.
Yeah, you could have been in the front of the fucking of the show. Yeah.
He's friends with your girlfriend.
Tits hanging out.
Really funny. He's friends with your girlfriend, but not you.
Yes.
Take it as a compliment.
All right.
But there's this great story of this friends of his having an argument, and then at one point, the husband just sort of does a take to the camera where there is no camera, and his wife said, "Did you just do a take to the camera?" And then they get in an even bigger argument. Which is awesome.
He does a fourth wall gag.
Yeah.
This is for more. So who does? Do we know who that's about? That story, or we say?
I don't know who it's
about. We don't know who it's about.
But now, when the bride and I argue, which is not all, but we argue occasionally, we'll each do a take to the camera.
That's awesome.
That's great.
One of the keys to lasting relationships is humor, man.
Yes.
It's
just
the key.
And knowing where you want to go eat.
Knowing where you want to go.
That's the biggest argument me and my future wife have. For some reason, we can't. Wherever we want to go eat, it's always a problem.
Yeah. Do you get into the no, I don't want to go there, but I want to go here?
No,
or?
I go into, this is how it starts. She go, let's stop and get something to eat. I'll go, where do you want to go? She goes, it doesn't matter.
They're pissed the minute you say, where do you want to go, by the way?
Yeah. Then it's on us. But then the it doesn't matter come in. And then you got to start playing the fucking, all right, you want to go here? No. You want to go there? No. You want to go there? No. Then you get in a friggin' argument about where you want to go eat.
That's why God only gave him two holes. It's a pass fail. What? What'd I say?
So the two nostrils and then what?
The nostrils and then what? How did you end up with a kid?
Next caller.
I have not heard that story.
The bride and I, we used to eat at a sushi restaurant that numbered everything. And when we were recording, we would just order... We went through the whole menu, 1 through 75.
Yeah.
Really?
So it solved a lot of problems, like, what are we going to eat?
In other words,
once we got there,
every time you went to dinner, it was, we got to go hit another number.
Yeah.
We got to hit our next number.
So we have 14 and 15 tonight.
So that covered you for a couple of months?
It did.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
You guys must really like spicy sushi.
Sushi rocks.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah. Did you get anything you're like, what the fuck were we thinking?
Yeah, occasionally got like this. And we also had a... veto thing, like I'm not going to have the snail balls or something, you know.
Right. Hummingbird cock.
Yeah,
I'm not eating no hummingbird cock.
That's how you know, though, if you're in a good if the arguments are just stupid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's how you know if you're in a good relationship.
Yeah.
What if you just don't argue?
Yeah, we don't argue much.
Well, it's nothing like it's something. I always say the bickering. You got to bicker over something.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
I think it's good sometimes. You know?
It can be fun.
I think she gets more pent up. Yeah, it can be fun.
It can be fun.
Really?
Yeah.
I just want happiness and joy and peace.
I don't like
and love.
Bickering at
no,
all.
No, you can be happy when you're bickering.
Yeah, of course.
You can just be fucking with somebody.
Well, no, I get that. That's a complete. If you're just fucking with each other, that's it sucks when fucking with your partner turns into, no, I didn't really mean it. And then you got to try and convince her that you were just fucking.
You know what? I don't get those YouTube videos where like the couples are just abusing each other, where they play pranks on each other and shit. Ooh. Have you seen those?
Oh yeah,
horrible.
Like what the fuck are they doing?
Horrible.
That relationship can't last. If it does, God bless them. I don't want to offend you, but I'm just saying. I hope it. You know, I hope that works. But like some of the, I could never push my wife in a group like a whole bunch of mouse traps.
No.
Oh my God!
Have you seen the YouTube video?
I want to see that one.
Yeah, I can't believe that's real. I can't believe that's not staged. I mean, that sounds completely like just
You know. I don't know. I just know there's a series where, like, these couples go back and forth with these very violent have you seen any
I've
of
never
them?
Seen any
I mean,
of
yeah,
these.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to watch them, right?
They're probably
staged,
not.
Yeah. They're staged to a point. I mean, they know that they're fucking with each other. They know that they're going to get each other back, and it's being set up to be filmed
but
and everything
like that.
But they
just don't know what it is or
they don't know right. what it is or when. And when it happens, it's like, oh, that shit's going on YouTube.
See, that's why I like sadomasochism. Because this sounds like a perfect sadomasochistic relationship. Or maybe they're both sadomasochists themselves, and they like being harmed and harming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's if that's what the dynamic of their relationship is, then they're turning it into, I'm guessing, a viral joy for themselves. Yeah. Because if your thing is to be turned on, if you're turned on by having welts all over your tits and vagina, then you should make some money on it.
For penis, not just a
Brett
vagina.
Louder milk?
Huh? What? What? Welts on my penis?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And other
you have
stories.
Some?
I right. put it in a rat trap once.
You that did what? What? What?
I put my dick in a rat trap.
You did?
Yeah, it was.
Rat trap?
It was horrible.
Not the rat.
No. Yeah,
the mouse trap is fine.
No, mouse trap goes on
the tongue.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. You put your
rat
mouse.
Rat trap?
A rat trap.
Was this part of the act or it just happened? Or you just
well,
saw it?
Well, I was thinking, like, maybe I could do this in the act. Maybe this would be something.
Okay, I feel like the stuttering is telling me we're not getting the true story. So stop stuttering and tell me where the
you're
fuck you put your cock in a rat trap. You're stuttering, frick you.
No, no. I don't know, Henry. You might crack under pressure.
This is a thing. This was a private thing. I'm coming out with talking about putting my dick in a rat trap.
I want to know
here's
exactly what happened
you
and
cannot,
where.
You cannot maintain an erection with a rat trap on your cock.
I can't.
You had
get
an erection?
Yes, because
I can't
not,
get rid of my erection now. Hearing about it,
because it's gonna. If you're not hard, it's gonna chop it off.
Right. That's exactly right. You gotta like, be hard.
You have to be hard. There's why would I want to put my flaccid? Why would I want to put my dick in a rat trap?
Bingo.
But why would I put my flaccid cock in a rat trap?
What and leave showbiz?
Yeah, come on. I want to be famous.
That's a great joke.
Come on.
So you know? First you jerked off.
No.
To kitty porn.
To kitty porn.
I didn't jerk off.
It doesn't take like you know. It doesn't take Brett very long to get his cock hard. Come
yeah,
on.
I'm young. I'm spry. You know, I can do it right now.
Let me explain something to you. Spry is never applied to young. Okay.
Okay.
And he never says it about himself. That the mustache and the beard and the word spry make you seem 80.
Okay.
So no, you're drop the word spry.
At me.
Yes. Yeah. Right. He's spry.
All right.
I'm spry.
So, right. So was this a you and your girlfriend?
No. This was a thing. This was a couple of years ago. This was a thing that I just wanted to try. You know, I can put my tongue in a mousetrap, no problem.
I've seen that on Obscura. You're wearing the Obscura shirt.
I'm wearing an Obscura t-shirt.
Have you been on the show?
I have not been on the show.
You got to get on the show.
I haven't been in New York. I used to hang out there all the time.
Cool.
I love
yeah,
that
yeah.
Show.
When I lived I in New York,
Brett's doing actually. He's being audited by the IRS for writing off rat traps.
He had to prove.
Justify why?
Yeah.
I don't have to pay for light bulbs. Light bulbs are a write off. Exactly. Everything. A lot of shit's a write off.
Swords.
Yeah. Swords.
As long as
I can write my swords off. Come on. Yeah.
How do I get? Never mind.
Yeah. No. It was just a thing. It was like, all right. Well, let's see if I can do this.
Right.
So I've got an erection. I'm gonna stick it in a rat trap.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Sucks.
Painful.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's awful.
And you're not into pain, right?
No, not at all.
So you're not doing anything.
Now,
you
does
did.
Everybody have disability?
Yes. I don't care what you think about drug legalization. You're a funny motherfucker. What?
Penn actually has a story. I'll tell Penn stories all night about doing research similar to that with mousetraps.
Okay.
Like brewing coffee and mousetraps and hundreds of mousetraps and trying to figure out a trick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with mousetraps.
Cool. So,
and like, not going well. Similar.
Coffee and mousetraps.
Yeah.
So doing an everyday activity while you're surrounded by mousetraps.
Yeah, he said, I think.
Oh,
was,
that's interesting.
Because he doesn't drink coffee anymore.
Right,
right.
This is back years ago and trying to figure out, well, I've got all these mousetraps. Let's try to figure out a trick and being amped up on coffee and.
And work his way through a maze of mousetraps.
Dude, I love.
That's pretty great.
I know as a comic, I guess this is taboo, I guess, but I love magicians, man.
Why do you think it's taboo?
You know how many comics like to shit on props? I like to punch them in their face.
Yeah, no, I don't.
By the way, just any comics listening, Steve Martin was a prop comic.
Yes.
And he's one of the most brilliant comics ever.
Wait, isn't that still a thing?
Yeah,
right.
It's not because comedy magic it doesn't exist in clubs anymore, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I'll tell you one of the best stories. I can't mention names. I was in the comedy festival in Montreal. And there was a couple of comics that came up to me, and there was a dude.
If you don't mention names, I'm going to make them up. Go ahead.
Make them up then.
Okay, cool. All
right. It was Chris Porter.
So what Porter say to Kershen? Go ahead.
Oh no, this dude was from Britain, man, and we were doing
Matt Kershen, the best
of the fest.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a ventriloquist act.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So, you know, and then now there's a lot of the comics in the back, like, I got a fucking ventriloquist.
Now, you're allowed to not like those.
Well, this guy totally was the
Vince
best
and mine.
Of the night. This guy shit on everyone. He was amazing.
Yeah. He killed it.
He killed it.
Did you ever see Otto and George?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, best show on the planet, man.
It's fucking great. But
a good reason to...
For drugs.
A good argument. Yes. A good argument for making
There's
drugs.
There's a great one.
Yeah. Without crack, we have no Otto and George.
Yeah. Yeah. Without crack, we don't get him.
Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
By the way, we got to get into that what we have time to talk about, because I'll be honest with you, I do see some of the points of that.
And of don't legalization. Get me wrong.
I do see where the decriminalization could help in certain areas.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
We'll do it privately. Yeah. Where I want to get you, I'll tell you now, is freedom should be paramount, and it's kind of easy to mark to put a demarcation on freedoms, not harming others.
But you the line on laws, though. You do draw the line on freedom. You're using it and saying it what your gauge, where you think freedom should begin and end. But there are laws that you would agree with that you could take away other people's freedom.
Of course I agree that we need laws. I'm not a libertarian, by the way,
For
the record. I sound like one a lot of the time. I've been called a libertarian. But I think that it's easy, actually. It gets gray sometimes, but I think it's easy to lay down a really nice delineating line so that you can make laws to protect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, where does X action harm others? If X action doesn't harm others, it probably doesn't belong in the law books. Probably. Mm-hmm. There are gray spots, I think. It really is that simple for me. And I think that's probably the libertarian view.
It's just a good litmus.
A general litmus, not a fucking steadfast.
Well, yeah, but I do. All right. Anyways,
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that off camera, because I'm interested to hear your opinion on it.
We'll talk.
Really am.
We'll talk.
But getting back to prop comics.
Yeah.
No, I am. The genius like behind Penn and Teller, like they had a show that I watch them on YouTube all the time. Man, I honestly, they're two of my favorites.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They have a show in England. Where
Fool Us.
Yeah, Fool Us.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say?
A thing called Philbophilia.
Oh, yeah.
And their mind to be able to do that. Like, you know, people look at us as comics and be like, well, you guys must be – like they make assumptions that we may be feeling like, oh, do you write your own material?
Yeah.
You must be afraid up there.
Yeah.
How do you think of that stuff?
Right.
But it's just – it comes natural to us to take something dark
and
make it funny.
Right.
Which brings us to Brett and the Rat Trap.
Well, yes exactly. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Like the mindset behind that, it's got to be – I don't know, man. It just amazes me. Like to be able to come up and fool everybody and just do this just elaborate thing. That everybody's like, what the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, well, I mean,
everything that
I do is horrible to do that to yourself. You know, it's horrible to eat a light bulb. It's horrible to shove a sword down your throat. You can die. You know.
Well, you're shitting a balloon every time you do a show, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's just part of life as Brett.
You know the animal balloons you make the dogs out of. I take one of those all the way. And pop it in my stomach.
Down his throat.
Do you see it in the toilet?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little it's like a fucking party in there. You know?
do you continue the joke afterwards? You're like
come home with me.
You're the guy on ratemypoo.com.
Ratemypoo.com. I should submit.
You should.
Magician's poo.
You'd win.
Magic poo.
I think people wouldn't believe it's actually your poo.
No.
I think that's the problem. They'd be like, uh-uh.
What it was, you know, I used to do. I'd buy multicolored bags of balloons.
Yeah.
So the shit would have different colors in it, and it breaks up, and it's like confetti.
Okay.
So it's wonderful. It's like
a
party, you know. And I've got chunks of glass in there, so it's like glistening. It twinkles. You
fucking
know,
Christ.
It's a job. So.
Can I come over and see your poo?
Yeah, of course.
See your shit.
I'll come
man.
To your house and shit.
All yeah. right.
All right.
I think that's a second. That is a second living for you. There are people who would pay you to actually see your crap. To
oh, I
watch
know,
you
I know.
Take a dump and see it
I'd
sparkle
probably
out.
Make a, I would fuck back.
I
want
to. I know, right?
All right.
Especially, especially if it's like, you know, if you get some diarrhea going and oh. it's like that could be fucking.
It's not
you
pretty.
Add some lights and some Molly to that. It's a party. That would be fun
what
to see.
You,
I stuck my dick in a vacuum once.
How'd that work?
Did I was home alone from school, and I said, "This might, this
which
might
kind?
Do something."
Yeah,
all right,
the old school one
with the with
okay.
The,
all right, take the
we're
going to
talk more about everyone's you fucking yourself with whatever yeah. that was. That's it for the free version of episode 29. Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guest Dean Cameron, Brett Ernst, and Brett Loudermilk. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
someone not named Brett or Brett.
That's right. And we'll be talking about...
the goofballs we had on last week.
That's we'll probably be talking about you
thanks
guys.
Thanks to our audio engineers, Dick Spenneberg and Jansen Lefevre. Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph, Nigerian Scam Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Nigeria Slam Man Winters.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.